Blind Tag, the wrestling show with occasional technical difficulties. I'm your co-host, Rondo Villano.
And I am your co-host, Matt Raddick.
Per the aforementioned technical difficulties, we are recording late on a Friday
late
night.
Late on a Friday. No better way to spend a Friday night than locked in a sweaty studio with my boy Ron.
That's exactly where we are. But let me tell you about my ride home on the public transit, on the bus. I saw the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
The craziest thing? Tell me about it.
So traffic is pretty bad in downtown Seattle, especially when you're on a bus.
Yes.
I was right downtown. The bus stopped. A man got on the bus, walked past me, sat in the seat behind me. I didn't pay much attention. The time between this stop and the next stop was actually about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Because traffic was terrible.
Sure.
In that time, I started smelling food. It smelled like barbecue sauce.
Okay.
And I was like, where is that coming from?
You were like, hell yeah, I love barbecue sauce.
And I turned, and the man who got on the bus wasn't eating an entire rotisserie chicken by himself.
So what you're saying is you encountered an American hero today.
I encountered an American hero. He ate an entire rotisserie chicken between two bus stops.
Oh my God.
And then he got off the bus at the next stop. Like, he just came on there to
he
sit
was just
down
looking
to
for
eat
a place
his chicken.
To sit. Yeah, he's like, I couldn't find a park bench to eat my rotisserie chicken on, so I decided to step on the bus.
It was absolutely wild. And then as he was getting off,
was he dipping it in barbecue sauce?
I think it was already sauced. It was a pre-sauced rotisserie chicken, like you get it, like a Safeway or something.
A pre-sauced bird, as they say in
absolutely. And but as he was getting off, I could see his hand was still covered in grease and sauce, and he grabbed onto the railing in front of me, and I thought, I need to not grab that when I stand up at the same bus stop this man is getting off.
Did you succeed, or did you put your hand in the grease pool?
Because
I do that kind of shit all the time where I'm like, oh, that is something I need to avoid, and then I immediately step in it or put my hand in it or whatever it may be.
No, I did that when I was getting off the bus, though. A different day. Okay. I saw a curb, and I thought, I'm going to not miss that, and then I did, and I like kind of rolled my ankle.
Oh, no.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's been a cool week. I started a new job. Cool week riding the bus.
Yeah, congrats to Ron.
Hour and a half.
Job. Are you going to say what your new job is?
Nope.
You're going to keep it under wraps. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a cool new job.
About an hour and a half bus ride either way.
That part, not so cool.
Lots of characters, lots of smells.
Lots of fun sights and
sounds. Lots of grease.
Yeah, what's the kind of clientele that is heading out to where your new job is? Because there's a lot of like fancy companies that work around there.
Yeah. That bus ride is fine.
Okay.
It's a boring bus ride. It gets pretty packed.
A lot of suits.
But my bus ride downtown and then on the way home uptown, it gets rough.
Yeah. Did you know that sometimes people call our neighborhood not Lower Queen Anne, but Uptown?
I guess. I mean, I feel like I've heard that. I don't know why anybody would actually call it
that. I don't either. I mean, it's kind of more efficient, but I also have only known her as the old LQA.
Yeah. Oh, as much fun as Lower Queen Anne is, because it is a Friday night, tonight there is a Tim McGraw and Faith Hill show. So my neighborhood is just teeming with poorly dressed white people. I don't know if you saw them on your way over here.
I did not. In fact, I
saw them on the bus.
The macros. I'm sure that you did. Nothing was really better, though, than when there was a Jimmy Buffett concert in our neighborhood a few weeks ago. I don't know if you were out and about.
That was more charming.
But the Pearheads were out in full
force. That was more charming than anything. Yeah. Today, I can't tell you how many cowboy hats, how many stonewashed jeans, and oversized white t-shirts I've seen.
It is crazy how like bafflingly weird this neighborhood gets, this city gets when there's any kind of like major concert. There was Taylor Swift played at CenturyLink a few weeks ago, and I just saw like the most absurd people all over Queen Anne, like in Taylor Swift t-shirts and just like just looking like a lot of teeny boppers and a lot of weirdos, and it was just strange. It's so weird when like there's strange activities going on in your neighborhood.
It's a beautiful, quiet neighborhood, but we're so close to where things can happen that when they
do happen,
and when they do happen, the entire neighborhood is just a real nightmare.
Yeah, right.
At least I'm not driving.
Exactly. Well, I
see them all on the bus.
When the Queens of the Stone Age played at Key Arena, I could not find a parking spot anywhere near my house. Which is definitely a fun conversation for all the people that don't live in Seattle.
You have a garage.
I know. The traffic was so backed up that I could not get out of my garage because it was backed up all the way, like bumper to bumper. So I was like, I was going to pick up my girlfriend because it's like, it was like 30 degrees outside and I could not escape my garage.
More like Queens of the Ice Age, am More I right? More like
Queens of the Ice Age. Ah, hey, there we go. Now we're
Queen Anne in the Ice Age.
There we go.
Ah, there's a pun for you. Do you know what else we missed by not recording yesterday?
What did we miss by not recording
yesterday? I'm using a new microphone today, so if you can... I think it's picking up the sound of my hands rubbing together about a foot away from the microphone. Yeah,
it's very sensitive.
Mm. You know what we missed yesterday?
July 12th?
July 12th. That is the birthday of WWE Universal Champion Brock Lesnar. Oh, wow. So welcome to Brock Spotting.
Welcome to Brock Your Spotting.
Your weekly update. Brock Lesnar yesterday, July 12th, turned 41 years old.
What an old guy.
What an old man.
I would
not
guess that he is 41. That hot dog meat does not age.
I don't know, man. He looks... He looks timeless, but like, but like he stopped at a bad time.
He chose a bad time to stop aging. Yeah,
I don't know. I'd say he looks about at 41.
Man, I think my only frame... The only person I can think of that I knew at 41 is my dad when he was 41, which was like 15 years ago. And he did not look like Brock Lesnar.
Well, my thing is like, even if he was 28, I still think he looks 41. Like, he looks pretty rough. I thought he was younger than that, but I just assumed that his body was older.
He's so smooth and silky.
He's got the wrinkles. No, you gotta look up close. Around the eyes, he's got the crow's feet.
I'm afraid to look at a...
He smiles so much, he's got the crow's feet. He got the smile wrinkles.
I'm afraid to look at a close-up picture of Brock Lesnar because I just saw Brock Lesnar's teeth and it sent me into a hellish spiral.
If I mentioned this on the show, Brock Lesnar has terrible teeth. He has nightmarish teeth. His bottom row of teeth are flat. And they look like little posts, and they're black.
They are filled with some kind of darkness that I can't describe.
There's a darkness within Brock Lesnar, and it's all it's all contained in at the front of his bottom teeth. I think they're all fake, or they're like half real. Yeah. And then he has like some kind of cap that goes over it when he's eaten. But I don't know. It's terrifying. Next time there's a pay-per-view on, they will zoom in on his face when he's like. He does the thing where he hits Roman Reigns with an F5, and then Roman gets up.
And then goes, Suplex City, bitch.
Well, it zooms in. The camera zooms in on Brock's face, and his eyes are open, and he goes, I'm making a face here for Matt. And some bad audio
for radio.
You.
Good radio.
But you can always see his bottom row of teeth, and they look very bad.
They do. They do look very, very scary. I do see what you're saying, though. I was able to look at a picture of Brock Lesnar for long enough to see the wrinkles.
The rest of his
eyes.
Body is inflated. But yes. His face is, you could tell.
That's true. He skips face day, you might say.
He doesn't just get ripped in the face.
No, he doesn't. Doesn't do his facial warm-ups. The interesting question is, will we see Brock Lesnar make that face the next time in a WWE pay-per-view, or will it be on a UFC pay-per-view?
That is the question. That's why we're here in Brock Spotting.
The first time we've had real Brock Lesnar news in quite some time.
This past week, a new UFC heavyweight champion was crowned. Yes. David Cormier.
Nope. Close. Take it again.
Daniel Cormier.
There he is.
Daniel Cormier.
Daniel Cormier. Can you tell that I took 2 years of French in college?
I took them in high school.
Daniel Cormier.
I do read a lot of Poirot mysteries though.
Croissant.
And there's some French.
There's
in
some
there.
Good French in there.
There yeah. is. Yeah, I'm reading The Murder of Roger Ackroyd right now, and the crime has happened. I'm 60 pages in, and Poirot has not really entered the mystery yet.
Wow.
I know. I'm very upset.
Yeah. I don't really know anything about these books other than that the McElroys read them. I don't really know.
I know, and now I do too.
Poirot.
I'm on my third one in like 2 months. It's wild.
Are they addicting? Are you hooked?
I just gotta know.
I see.
I just gotta know what's going on in my mysteries.
In your mysteries. There is a mystery to be solved there.
Daniel Cormier.
DC, as he is known. It's a very creative nickname.
He's the UFC heavyweight champion.
Yes.
He won, and then Brock Lesnar was sitting in the front row.
Yes.
And he said, "Hey, Brock Lesnar, get your ass in this ring,"
yep.
or something like that.
Something like
and
that.
And Brock Lesnar, he was smiling. He looked like he was having a good time. Mm-hmm. And then he went in there and he shoved Daniel.
He said he did. He shoved him real good.
And he said, "Suplex City, bitch." No, he swore at him. And
he said a lot of curses.
He called him a motherfucker.
He did. Wow, you did. Ron couldn't even say that. He could. He can't bring himself to say
it. I respect my mom.
Well,
So yeah,
can't imagine what that's like.
Brock Lesnar says these awful things.
Yeah,
and I saw like tweets about this. You did too. We talked about it, and then I watched the video and I said, "This is clearly a work."
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brock Lesnar is bringing his limited WWE knowledge into the UFC ring and creating drama around this fight that he has coming up
to get people hyped for this match. The interesting thing is that from what I read on the internet, apparently DC is a big like professional wrestling fan. So like some people are kind of speculating that like he is kind of pushing to bring that sense of, I don't know, storytelling into a UFC ring. But I
mean, silly.
Well, I mean, it's entertaining.
Sure, but it's like a silly thing to do.
Well, I mean, but why? Like if the goal is to drum up interest in this fight,
yeah,
and like you can do that through a sort of like worked little confrontation or what have you, like why not do that? Like gets eyeballs on you.
Because the fight is real.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can talk trash. Like, I mean, that, like, I think whether or not it's like a work or not, like, what excites people is when people have, like, real conflict or just when there is conflict.
But it's not a real conflict.
Well, sure, but it looks like a real conflict, well, right?
Like, ish.
Like, I mean, I remember
Brock Lesnar does not sell super well.
Well, yeah. The other thing is I heard somebody saying, like, oh, man, that's the best Brock Lesnar promo I've heard in years. Like, WWE needs to get him a mic. Like, first of all, he said, like, three things, and all he said was, like, fuck you, I'm going to fight you, which is not exactly, like, you know, poetry. He also could not, like, speak into a microphone without swearing, like, six times. Like,
yeah, that's
that
true.
Is not something that can happen on the USA Network. It's not going to happen.
Just the UFC Network.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar is not going to be calling Roman Reigns a motherfucker anytime soon.
He probably would, though.
Yeah, he certainly would.
I'm sure he has in the ring, and they've had to
censor it, yeah.
Yeah. I think I've seen that happen. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, the only, like, good promo that, like, the good piece of dialogue that Brock Lesnar has emerged from his recent WWE wrong is Suplex City, bitch, which, again,
has a
swear
curse.
In it.
Has a curse. That cursed man.
Not good for the kiddos.
So that's an actual update, and I guess this has been Brock Spotting, your weekly update on all things WWE Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar.
We should say that he did not show up for work this Monday.
Oh, he didn't show up for work at the WWE, but I hope he had a happy birthday.
I sure did, too. Hey, happy birthday, Brock.
Happy birthday, Brock Lesnar, 41 years of age, looking great as ever.
41 years young. Only a few wrinkles and a few missing teeth.
What we are really here to do today, Sunday, the day that you're listening to this, there's a pay-per-view.
Tonight. Tonight is the night. Bright lights, big fights. Gotta keep them going loud. Tonight is the night. Great hits. Can't miss. Gonna see it going down. Everybody get down. Tonight is the night.
Yeah.
What is that one? At one point there was a WWE song. I think there was the Raw entrance music and it went
raw.
Yeah. Feeling raw.
So yeah, we've got Extreme Rules today.
Extreme Rules. Like that. It's today.
Hey, happy birthday,
happy
Brock
birthday,
Lesnar.
Happy birthday, Extreme Rules.
And happy birthday, Extreme Rules, our favorite annual WWE pay-per-view event because the rules are extreme, I guess.
Yes, that is true. That is true. There have become some extreme rules. About 2 weeks ago, there was not many extreme rules, but now there are.
What's the most extreme rule in this match?
Well, I would probably say the extreme rules match.
But what does that mean?
It just means that it's basically like a fancy way of saying a no DQ match. I think that they put more weaponry out in a boot.
I was thinking about extreme rules matches, and the best I could come up with is like an 8-person match.
Okay.
But they all have buckets on their heads.
Okay.
So they can't see. And one has a gun. But they also can't see.
That is an extreme rule. It kind of forces the audience to participate in the match as well. Yeah.
I actually didn't even think about the audience participation.
In an interesting sort of way. I mean...
So it's not going to get that extreme, though.
No, sure. That's but also, bad. Would you like to add a Russian roulette element to it?
Oh, yeah.
So
everyone has a gun, but there's only one bullet among all of the guns.
Oh, God.
And it's on a pole.
You're gonna put 8 guns in a ring in this economy?
But just one bullet on a pole, though.
it's, It's very cost effective, actually. Only one bullet, but six guns. I'm going to say that we should avoid any matches that involve guns. However, I do I think agree. That we are going to see a lot of kendo sticks in this match, because was kind of the weapon of choice in this Alexa Bliss Nia Jax confrontation.
Alexa
on
Bliss
Monday.
Loves the kendo stick.
She sure do.
Kendo
wasn't that
stick on a pole?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Wasn't that when she was fighting like Bayley last year?
I don't care.
Mm. Yes.
I don't remember. It might have been Bayley.
I think it was Bayley.
But there was a I think you're right. That sounds about right. But yeah, there was a kendo stick on a pole. Was that also at Extreme Rules? Was that a literal year ago?
I believe it was. With all of the like non-essential pay-per-views, they kind of like rotate them around a little bit, because like I think Hell in a Cell is in like October this year, but like sometimes it's in like June. Like, you know, things change. Last year we had Great Balls of Fire. No Great Balls of Fire this year, unfortunately.
Well, last year we also had like 26 pay-per-views, and we're only doing like 13 this year.
That's true. It's a good point. It's a very valid point.
It's a true blessing.
Good point there. Good fact that you dropped. Let's save Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax for a little bit later. Let's kind of go through this card and talk about what's going on with our first match, which is Andrade Cien Almas.
Well, we're assuming this is our first match.
Sure. I think it's pretty safe to assume. There are 12 matches on this card.
Yeah, and they're like all singles matches, I'm bored of all of them. Seven of them are title matches.
Yeah.
It's wild.
So they started doing this thing after WrestleMania where all of the pay-per-views are co-branded, right? And then like right away, they were like, oh, okay, we're going to make Backlash 4 hours long because it's a co-branded show now. We got a lot more ground to cover. And then they did the same thing for Money in the Bank, which admittedly had some very good and important matches and good things to cover. But now we're here at Extreme Rules, and it does really feel like
it's going to be long.
It's going to be a long one. And a lot of these matches, the stakes are pretty low. I mentioned this last week, but this pay-per-view is definitely billed as like, hey, we're going to start setting up the storylines for SummerSlam, especially as they relate to the Universal Champion. And boy, howdy, is that not happening anymore.
I just want to get out ahead of this and say thank you to Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins. They have a match.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 30-minute Iron Man match.
Yes.
Which means that it will only be 30 minutes. So thank you guys for that's relatively long, but
yeah,
there's
I was
actually
gonna say,
that's
a doozy.
But there's a time limit on it.
Yeah, right.
They're saying this is only going to be 30 minutes. If you're into it or not, after 30 minutes, you can turn the TV back on.
Yep. Well, you should be into it, because that's probably going to be the best match of the night, in my humble opinion.
I kind of think that the match between Andrade Cien Almas and Sin Cara is going to be pretty good.
I do too, actually.
You watch them this week?
Yeah, I was very, very impressed.
These guys are good wrestlers.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. Sin Cara has not been very good historically. Like, he's not been involved in a lot
of
stuff.
He's old.
He's a little old. Yeah, he's on the older side. I mean, he's done some cool stuff, but this does feel like a situation in which he finally has a dance partner who can keep up with him to some extent. But yeah, they had a very, very good match on Tuesday night, and I was like, okay, yeah, color me excited for this one. I think it's going to be a good one.
So what's the feud that they're building here? Andrade is new to the WWE, to the main roster.
So I may have missed a few story beats here because they have not been giving this a ton of time. But as I understand it, the story goes that Sin Cara and Cien Almas used to work together in Mexico when they were kind of coming up in the indies in Mexico and part of the lucha scene.
Yes, I agree.
Cool. Glad to know that you're on board with this story I'm weaving. Apparently,
are you writing this? Are you making this up?
Yeah, I'm writing this off the fly. Apparently, Sin Cara is not happy with the direction that Almas has gone in his career. He thinks he's lost his sort of integrity, and his he's turned to more underhanded tactics in his career, and he's not too pleased with it. He thinks he's lost his way, and so Sin Cara is saying, "You've got to get back to the good lucha world, and I'm going to try and fight you to make you do that."
And Mr. Almas is attempting to prove Sin Cara right by beating him up.
Yeah, he is like, "Nah, fuck you, I'm doing great. I'm at the highest point in my career," which frankly is true. I'm going to be interested to see how this match goes. I and many other people were very excited for Almas to get called up to SmackDown because he's a very, very good wrestler and he had a good run on NXT.
Sure.
But they haven't done a lot with him. Presumably a pre-show match, and he's not really been given a lot of time in the spotlight. But hey, maybe this is if this goes really well, maybe He'll get moved up higher on the card for the next one.
How do you think it's going to play out?
I think Almas is going to win. I think Sin Cara, though he had a good match on Tuesday, is still a Joubert.
Really? You believe that, huh? I also think that Almas is going to win because I think that this is going to be them, the WWE, using this as an opportunity to be like, oh, look, he beat this guy and he beat him a couple times and he's almost is a real threat now and yeah, he's going to start making actual like.
And now he can move past Sin Cara, he can move past his past and on to bigger and better feuds.
Absolutely. Yeah. We actually have a second pre-show match.
We do.
Which is
and our first Extreme Rule.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
it's a tables match.
There's tables.
It's not that extreme.
It's pretty
extreme.
I've seen more extreme.
I've seen more extreme, but it is.
I've pitched more extreme.
that is true.
This I'm actually pretty surprised. This is pre-show because it's going to be a big one.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3-on-3. We've got the New Day versus Sanity.
Yes, yes, we do indeed. Basis for this feud is basically there's two
Sanity's dicks.
Yeah, well, there's two tag teams that have three members in them, and so might as well make them fight each other.
Yeah.
Sanity interrupted a pancake party. And
oh yeah,
and then they fought again this week. They don't like each other very much.
How do you think this is going to go down?
So here's the thing. I think that Sanity should win this match. However, they've been doing a lot of weird booking decisions with Sanity. They've like had a lot of losses for an up and coming tag team that they're presumably trying to put over.
This week they were involved in a 10-man tag match.
Yeah, which was kept being billed as a colossal tag match.
It was a colossal clusterfuck. Did you watch this?
Yeah, there was a lot going on. There were some cool parts, but then there was a point where like everybody was just kind of like spamming finishers, but then Killian Dane definitely like missed a beat and then it got real sloppy from there.
The second half of it was like everybody was like, I hit this guy and then I trip and this guy gets me and then he trips and then I get to...
I would say it was wild. It was an elegant piece of choreography.
I would say that it was my favorite Three Stooges bit.
Yes, that's very good. But Sanity took the pin in that. It was
Daniel Bryan got the pin.
Right. It was Team Hell No and the New Day versus Sanity and the Bludgeon Brothers.
Which also doesn't make sense.
It doesn't really make any sense other than that. Those are the bad guys and these are the good guys kind of thing. But Daniel Bryan pinned, I think, Eric Young, who's the leader of Sanity, and Sanity took the loss. So that, to me, does not say, hey, we're going to put over this tag team. It also... I don't know. They've lost a bunch of other matches too for no reason. They haven't been billed as a threat at all yet. I guess I would say maybe with this stipulation involved, this is a good chance for them to be billed up as the crazy team that they're going to be.
Sure.
I'm going to stick with logic for this one. I'm going to say logic says Sanity should win this. New Day can take a loss. Sanity can get a win and get over.
I mean, I at first you said that the New Day is probably going to win, and I got excited because I was going to go with Sanity.
Mm.
But I'm still going to go with Sanity, and there right now this card is very boring.
Well, you know, it is the pre-show, and we have 12 more matches
to go. We're probably not going to watch these.
Yeah, so, well, that's probably true.
I think Sanity's going to get it. They gotta kind of start going over at some point.
Right, they got to get a winner. They're not doing nothing.
So the rest of the card kind of breaks down because I didn't know how to organize this. Did you rearrange any of this?
No, I did not.
Cool.
I would not undo your beautiful work here.
We talked about what is probably the main event, and I left that up top. There are a couple things that I left pretty high up, but we're going to start off, I guess, with Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens in a steel cage match.
In a steel cage match, an Extreme Rule.
I guess.
Yeah. You'd think it maybe was a porta potty on a pole match, but alas, no, a different sort of trap that they're going to be trapped inside. This feud stems from what was the thing before this? Money in the Bank. During the build up to Money in the Bank, Kevin was trying to get people to beat up Braun Strowman so that he could win. Right?
I think we could take a step further back than that because. Before this, Braun started doing the bit where he would just, like, if Kevin was on the outside of the ring, he would, like, circle the ring. And Braun and Kevin have had a running gag where Braun just kind of steamrolls Kevin at any given moment. But, I agree, though, after Money in the Bank, it started becoming more of a personal vendetta.
Yeah, right.
For no reason, though.
Yeah, really, really nothing at all. I mean, Braun Strowman's really just kind of picking on Kevin Owens. Braun threw Kevin off a very tall ladder and nearly broke his beautiful Canadian body.
Yeah.
So that happened, and then he's basically continued to torment him.
He
flipped his rental car. He trapped him in a porta potty and
flipped
the porta potty, covered him in blue goo, but not poo. So that was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's basically what's going on. Kevin's been trying to avoid Braun, and Braun is continually coming for him. And now Kevin has no escape because he will be locked in a steel cage with Braun Strowman.
So Braun's going to win this, huh?
So Braun's going to win this,
He keeps winning.
He does.
Like, they've had a few normal matches in between. I'm going to give it to Kevin.
Wow, bold plan.
I think some bullshit's going to happen because they're in the steel cage.
Okay.
Right. Braun should win. They'll probably break through the cage or something. Braun will break through and pass out. I think Kevin's going to win just because this whole thing has been literally Kevin Owens running away from Braun because, he's, like you said, he's being tormented. There's no real story going on.
I think this is going to be a very fun match, though. I don't think it's going to be a good wrestling match, a good technical match, but I think there's going to be some good bits of like Kevin trying to run up the cage and Braun just like grabbing him and slamming him back down and bulldozing him and doing all kinds of zany antics.
Oh, this is a cage, not a cell, so there's no roof. You can win by going over.
Correct. You can win by escaping.
What if Braun throws Kevin over just in a great feat of strength, but that means Kevin wins because his feet touch the ground?
I think Kevin would win, but I think he would also pass away. Because he would have been thrown to like 15 feet in the air and then come crashing down to a concrete floor. So,
poor Kevin.
Take the good with the bad. Going out on a win. I guess that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Boy, that sounds bleak.
I think Kevin's going to take it.
All right.
Next up, we do have is the rest just like the gauntlet of championship matches?
Pretty much.
No, there's two more
non-title matches in there. Yeah.
This one that I've got up next is a championship
match.
It
is indeed.
For the WWE Championship, so it should probably be higher up on the list.
Yeah, that was my first thing that I saw on this. I'm gonna critique you as you go. I don't think that they're gonna start with a steel cage match because that's insane. I don't think that they're gonna start with a match that's mostly gonna be played for comedy because that'll be a nice little sort of popcorn break between two very good technical matches. And I don't think that the second match on the card is going to be for the WWE Championship. I would say it's more likely that it's the first match, but I don't think that's particularly likely either.
We've got AJ
I'll have more
Styles.
Notes as we go.
We've got AJ Styles versus
Rusev from Rusev Day. Gotta say, one of my favorite, I love everything that Rusev does, one of my favorite Rusev bits is when he goes, "Hi, I'm Rusev from Rusev Day."
It's very good.
So good. He was on commentary this week, and he had a killer showing. He was very, very funny. He was talking about, he made the good point, like, someone was trying to be like, wow, AJ Styles is really like, working on Shinsuke Nakamura. He had him like up on his shoulders. He was like, well, how are you going to counteract that, Rusev? And Rusev goes, look at me. I'm like 300 pounds. He's not going to be able to pick me up on his shoulders. What do you got to say to that? And then like Byron Saxton just like didn't have anything to say. And he's like, yeah, that's what I thought. I'm Rusev. It was beautiful.
That's very good.
He's a wonderful man.
So question for you. Why was AJ fighting Shinsuke? I thought their feud was over.
I don't really know. I think it was just like Paige had basically said, you guys both have title matches and I want those matches to be as good as possible on Sunday. So iron sharpens iron. I'm going to pit you two against each other kind of thing.
Yeah, but AJ's defending and Shinsuke's not.
I mean, I don't make the rules.
It doesn't make sense, Paige.
Paige has got to put butts in seats.
Well, anyway, this turned into a tag match.
Yes.
It was Rusev and Shinsuke.
From Rusev Day.
Versus AJ and Jeff Hardy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it did.
A person that Shinsuke is feuding with for some reason.
Jeff Hardy started doing the delete thing during the match.
Doing it for a while.
Has he? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed.
He's woken.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's
he doesn't do it with much gusto,
no,
though.
He does not. It seemed like he did it by accident when he, like, I've been a little bit concerned about Jeff Hardy lately.
Yeah?
I feel like he's maybe not in a very good or healthy place, and he seems a little bit lost when he is, like, working matches and stuff like that. And maybe I'm just reading too much into it, but I'm a little bit concerned about his overall well-being. Yeah, I don't know. And so it seemed to me
he's
like
fine.
He like got into the ring and was like, oh, what do I do in the ring? Oh, yeah, I do the delete thing. And it was like, wait, no, that's an impact thing. That's not my character.
You think
anymore.
He just like had a flashback to
Yeah, I just think he had like sort of a brain fart of like, I'm in the ring and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But like his character has not been in the Woken universe. He's been doing this like painted face thing.
But
and
he
stuff
has
like that.
Been.
But it's
Do you not remember when him and Jeff and Bray all saw each other backstage and
yeah, but it was
they
just
referred
like
to him as Brother Nero?
Oh, I don't remember him referring to him as Brother
yeah,
Nero.
Yeah, they've called him Brother Nero before.
Was he in the face paint?
No, it was before. Mm. This was like a couple months ago. It was like right after Bray was woken.
Mm. It's like his activation word. He said
right.
Brother Nero, and it just immediately was like it's like a like Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
you know?
No, he was like it was hilarious because he was like, oh yeah, it's good to see you guys. Oh yeah, blah blah blah. And then like, but he was actually back there with like the New Day or somebody, just like some other tag team or the Usos. And then they,
right, I think this
they
was
were
like at Backlash or something.
They were like, what was that? And he was like, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it was very funny.
Yeah, but that's the thing is like he's playing the straight man in that like
sure,
Matt is
yeah.
playing a character. He's doing this goofy guy, and Jeff is just like, oh yeah, that's my brother. He's goofing around, like kind of thing. Like, so it doesn't make sense that all of a sudden he's like he is woken, unless he was somehow activated.
He's woken because Shinsuke punched him in the dick or whatever, right?
I don't even think that's how that happened.
Isn't that what happened?
No, I think this started just because Jeff was like, I'm going to do an open challenge and I want Shinsuke Nakamura or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then Shinsuke punched him in the dick and then Shinsuke was like, hey, wake up. And then
why won't you put a little makeup?
Okay.
Shake up.
Yeah, I got it.
He's up on the table.
Yeah, it's a great album.
It is. It's a very good one.
It holds up.
I thought I did karaoke the other night.
Yeah. Were you going to do Chop Suey?
I thought about it. I thought about it. Me and my buddy Noah were struggling to find what a good song for us to do for two very dorky white boys to do at this karaoke
thing. Oh, System of a Down.
And that seemed like a fit, but I was like, is this I don't know how broad the range of
your
System
vocals?
Of a Down is. No, I completely fucked that up because the songs I chose to do were Take On Me by A-ha.
Oh, yeah.
And
how drunk were you?
No, not very. I only had two cocktails. And Run Away With Me by Carly Rae Jepsen, which I was like, oh, I love singing those songs. And then I was like, oh, now I have a microphone and I actually have to hit these notes.
No, you gotta pick your vocal range.
I know. I really fucked up. It was bad. It was
very bad. What's your vocal range? What's an actual good go-to?
I don't know. This is the first time I've done karaoke in like 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
I have no idea what a good go-to was.
I've never done it.
No?
Because I'm not that kind of guy.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
But also my vocal range is like The National, and nobody wants to hear that at karaoke.
I'm all for that. I would be into it.
Nobody wants to just cry at karaoke.
That's all I ever really want to do.
What match are we talking about?
Get us
about
back
here?
On track.
AJ Styles versus Rusev?
We were down a big rabbit hole about Shinsuke Nakamura.
Are they finally
going
to put Rusev over?
Are they finally going to kiss?
Are they finally... Are they brothers?
are they brothers who kiss? Only one way to find out. No, I don't think they're going to put Rusev over. I think AJ Styles is going to win this match.
Okay.
But it's a nice dream. The biggest thing...
I'm going to go with Rusev. I think that Sunday, today... is Rusev Day. Today is our Rusev Day.
The best Rusev Day of them all. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I don't think it's going to happen. My hope for this match is just that it is a really, really good match. And I think it will be because AJ Styles puts on a good match with basically everybody, and Rusev is a pretty darn good wrestler. But I hope that this means that he stays in the title picture and that like people kind of see that he is legit.
Well, here's what happened this week. In their tag match,
yes.
Rusev got the pin.
Yes.
So you're probably right. He's
yes.
not going to get it again.
That's right. Also, I don't know if you know this, but AJ Styles is the cover athlete of WWE 2K19, and I don't think that they're going to take
that.
The title off him anytime soon.
I do
especially
know that.
Going into SummerSlam. I'm just saying.
The next match I have on this list, which is also a PP match, I would say.
A PP, a potty match.
Yeah. It's the Deleter of Worlds, which I believe should be the Deleters of Worlds. It's Matt Hardy and Bray
yes,
Wyatt.
Yes, I think that is correct.
They're the Raw Tag Team Champions.
Yes.
Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, the Leader of Worlds. They're fighting the B Team, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel.
That is true.
I don't know why. The B Team has like worked their way up to being the second best tag team on Raw.
Yep. Yep.
Somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But I am excited to see...
Well, it's because the B stands for best.
It's true. That's what their shirts tell me. They've had a few matches.
Yes.
But I feel like because Bray in real life got in a car accident, he hasn't really been involved.
That's what I was just looking at, is to see like what his status was, because I was actually kind of surprised to see that this match was still happening, because from what I heard,
he was on the show this week.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh, I watched the Hulu cut this week.
Missed it. I watched YouTube. Yep, he was there. He was on YouTube. Bray Wyatt is on YouTube.
He was posting from his
posting
home.
Comments.
Yeah, he did an unboxing video for a new fedora.
and a lantern. But I feel like Bo Dallas,
yes,
Bray Wyatt's real life brother,
yes,
who kisses.
Mm-hmm. They kiss.
They definitely kiss. Sure. Oh, they definitely kiss.
Definitely.
Like real sloppy.
Like real close
beard
brothers.
Beard on beard. I feel like they haven't really fought.
The sloppy brothers.
The sloppy brothers. I feel like I haven't
those
seen
two have
those
not fought one
fight.
On one. I think that is true, because we got singles matches between Matt Hardy and Axel and Matt Hardy and Bo, but we didn't get
I'm excited. I'm excited to see the brothers fight.
Some hot brother on brother action.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be some good sloppy brother.
As a brother who has wrestled his brother.
It's true. I have done that.
How do you think this is going to go?
Well, if
you think it's going to go well?
No, I don't. If experience has taught me anything, it's that the older brother will take the younger brother and he will perform a rock bottom to him and he will cause the younger brother to black out. So
Bray's going to win.
So Bray's going to win. I think the Deleters of Worlds are going to win this match.
Do you think they're actually going to?
I do, actually, yeah.
What do you think?
I love the B team, but I don't think that... You know what? You know, the B team's undefeated. They've got nothing to lose.
Cool. You're going to go with the B team. I'm going to go with the Leaders of World.
Yeah. I'm going to go with it. You know what? I'm out on a limb. It's the tag team division on Raw needs a real shakeup. You know, the B team's fun. Everybody's enjoying it. They should take the title, and they should do some cool stuff.
So what's the more interesting thing to happen?
Sure.
The B team wins, they get the title, and then Bray becomes unwoken and turns back into
right.
Bray
You're
Wyatt.
Still talking about your bespoken thing.
And turns against Matt.
Okay.
Or
the B team?
No.
The B stands for Bray.
The B stands for brothers. Or is it more interesting if the B team loses and become beleted, and they are then woken and
that
part of the Beleters of Worlds?
That was bespoken. they become a bespoke tag team of bespoke brothers. What if Bray Wyatt deletes Curtis Axel somehow? Mm-hmm. But he does switch over to the B team, and they do become the B stands for brothers, and then the B team feuds with the Bludgeon Brothers at SummerSlam.
So it's Bo and Bray.
The brothers
versus the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yes.
It's like a septuple B.
It's a hot brother on brother setup. There'd be a lot of kissing.
A lot of brothers, a lot of B's.
Of sloppy kissing, a lot of beards.
Oh wow.
A lot of sloppy smooches.
The B is for beard.
The B is for beard.
The B is for bearded brother.
The B is for bearded brothers named Bo and Bray.
Wow.
I
hope
B's
none of
all
that
the way
happens.
Down. 2B. 2B Bludgeon Brothers. Anyway, to get us back on track, I think the
I think about them all the time.
I think the B team is going to win this match.
I think you're wrong, and I think you know that.
I think I'm wrong too, but I'm going to stick with it.
So
stick to my guns.
How about imagine. Go on a journey with me.
Okay, sure. Paint me a picture.
Imagine that Asuka was just like a regular ass wrestler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like
not the best wrestler in the world.
Right. Just not even close.
Sure. Okay.
Losing to people like Carmella.
Sure.
Who is great.
Mm-hmm.
She's the trash talking, moonwalking queen of Staten Island.
Princess, I believe.
Princess. Champion.
Champion of Staten Island, yes.
Carmella is the SmackDown Women's Champion.
It's true.
She's going to fight Asuka.
That's also true.
And that's it.
Okay.
And that's it. That's the whole thing.
Well.
Oh, wait.
There's something else going on here. Did you read the fine print on this match?
Oh, this. I'm looking at the copyright here. James Ellsworth will be suspended above the ring in a shark cage.
Yeah.
Where have I seen this match before?
Oh, boy.
About a year ago, exactly, with another small, slimy bastard of a man.
Yeah. He must not be named himself.
I think James is going to escape from this cage and fuck up the match.
I do too. I sure do. I think that he's going to have like a bottle of lube or something like that in his shorts. No? You don't think like a little KY sponsorship is the...
James always has a bottle of lube with him.
At all times.
I believe he does.
Ready and rear and go. No, I think James Ellsworth fought Asuka again on SmackDown this week in a lumberjack match.
Man, it was fucking dumb.
It was weird. I also was watching Glow this week because I couldn't get enough of that good wrestling action.
Did you see my cousin's name in the credits?
No, I didn't. What's your cousin's name?
Trista.
Trista?
She's getting married tomorrow.
Hey!
Yesterday, by the time you're hearing this.
Shout out to Trista.
Hey, shout out to Trista.
Are you going to the wedding?
It's in Michigan. I can't make it.
I see.
Well, we talked.
I gotta watch Extreme Rules.
I sent her a nice card.
That's good. That's good.
Congrats on your wedding, Trista. Congrats on Glow. You're probably not listening to this. You're getting married.
You're getting married. You're doing fun stuff. There's also some Battle of the Sexes references in Glow, which was interesting because they were also kind of referencing Battle of the Sexes with this match.
What's that?
The Battle of the Sexes?
Yeah.
It was when Billie Jean King had a tennis match against Bobby Riggs. Oh,
I thought you were talking about a wrestling thing.
Well, I mean, there was James Ellsworth versus Asuka.
I mean, I thought Battle of the Sexes was a wrestling thing, not just this.
No.
I thought Insular, I thought you were only talking about wrestling.
No. In Glow, there was a Battle of the Sexes sports thing, and they referenced tennis. And then also on SmackDown, there was a Battle of the Sexes thing, and they referenced the tennis again. It's all about the tennis.
You know, one of the Williams sisters just had a baby and then she
destroyed Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Serena. Yeah. She's amazing. The greatest athlete in the world.
Amazing.
I fucking love Serena Williams. She's great.
She's great.
She's a wonderful person. Shout out to Serena. Thanks for all your support on the show. it's been great to know that you've been listening for all these years.
If you look really closely at her uniform, it's actually all Blind Tech branded. you don't have to look very close, but you do have to look.
We decided
but
to
But you
go
do
with...
have to watch tennis.
We decided to go with some subtle pinstriping of just our logo was all the little dots mm-hmm. and the pinstripes.
We just took the logo and stretched it real good.
So it's real long and real skinny. It really, really got distorted quite a lot.
So if Carmella and Asuka were fighting one-on-one, who do you think would win?
In a fair fight, it would be Asuka.
So who do you think is going to win in this fair fight
where the person that keeps interfering is locked in a cage,
Carmella, is going to fairly fight Asuka, and there's a man suspended above the ring?
I think it's got to be Carmella is going to win this match.
You think Carmella's going to win?
I do,
I
don't know that Carmella is going to get the win. I think that James Ellsworth could like get involved and
see what I just wrote there.
See what you just wrote there.
Mm.
It's a terrible idea.
You saw the Google Doc update right before your very eyes.
Ron believes that James Ellsworth is going to win this match.
I think he's going to get the pin. It's an Extreme Rules bullshit thing, right? They're probably going to come out and be like, "Oh, by the way, it's a no DQ. It's a no something." I think James is going to slip out, fall on top of Asuka. He's not even really going to pin her. He's just going to fall on top of her.
And then he's going to be holding his ass of like, ow, I hurt, but he's going to happen to be on top of Asuka. Mm-hmm. And the ref's going to count 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And they're going to award James Ellsworth the championship.
Well, he didn't pin Carmella. Oh, fucking God. It is a championship match. You don't need to pin the champion. Oh, no. I think James Ellsworth might be the SmackDown Women's Champion on Sunday night.
Hmm. I don't think you're right, but it's just crazy enough to work. Oh, God. That sounds terrible.
Oh, they keep using this guy to just ruin everything.
I know, right? It's really weird.
I feel like there's like one writer who just keeps forgetting. And then like every now and again, he'll be like, oh, James Ellsworth, we should use him to do this crazy, terrible thing. And nobody is there to stop him.
Right, right.
And then they write the thing in. And then the next day, everybody's like, how did that make it through? How did that make it through the filming process?
Yeah, right.
And then that guy,
it was Ted again, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then that guy gets put back on involuntary sabbatical.
Mm, yes.
So James Ellsworth. Hey, let's keep going.
Let's do that.
Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin, the Constable himself.
The Constable himself.
Why are they fighting?
Who cares? Baron Corbin is big and Finn is little, and he likes to make fun of Finn for being little. Yeah, here's why they're fighting.
That's fair.
Here's why they're fighting, because these two guys were supposed to be in a multi-person match to determine who would be the number one contender for the Universal Championship, and then they aborted that, and so now they have this match instead.
I'll tell you who the number one contender is.
Who's that?
Daniel Cormier.
Well, actually, Brock Lesnar is the number one contender to Daniel Cormier.
Well, not for the Universal Championship.
Well, that's true.
So who do you think is going to win here? Let's not even talk about this because it's boring.
Constable Corbin.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
That's who I'm going with, too.
All right. All right.
I'm just going to write BC.
He's looking...
Or BX.
BX, interesting. He's looking good. He's looking svelte. He's got that new do.
He's got the haircut,
I think,
man.
That they're trying to keep this Constable character like a big deal, so I think
just
why
kidding.
Not make
I'm going to go
a,
Finn.
Make
Finn's
him a
gonna
big
win
part
this.
Of it. Sure.
Shut
why
up.
Not?
Finn's going to win this.
Truly, who the fuck cares?
Here we go.
Here we go. Now we're talking here.
Now we're talking.
Now we're in business.
To be themselves, the Kissin' Brothers.
Those Kissin' Brothers.
The Bludgeon Brothers.
Yes.
First Team Hell No. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Team Hell No is faces.
Yes.
They were Team Hell No when they were heels. Why aren't they Team Hell Yes?
It's a great question. Branding? I don't know.
That's... Daniel Bryan says yes.
Well, yeah, now he says yes. But he used to say no.
Yeah, I know, but that's one that... Anyway...
I think, I don't know. I mean, it's just a Hell Yeah is kind of a Steve Austin's thing. They, you know, they were Team Hell No. And if they were like, yeah, we're back together and now we're Team Hell Yes, I think that kind of ruins the nostalgia factor.
Yeah,
you know?
But I think it's funny.
Did you see the terrible shirt that they have?
Oh, yeah. It's
the one that is just
terrible.
Kane's mask with Daniel Bryan's arm sticking out of it.
Yeah, it looks like a weird little Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, it sure do. Man, it's weird.
All right, so you already pre-ordered it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's coming in the mail tomorrow. I'll have it on Sunday.
Who you got going here? I'm going Team Hell No.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think that this match is going to end in disqualification. Because I
tell me,
and I think that the Bludgeon Brothers are going to retain the championship because I think that the Miz is going to get involved.
Oh,
I think that we are going.
I forgot this was a championship match.
Oh yeah,
I think. Okay, I think Team Hell No.
You're not
is
allowed
going
to pick
to,
my good idea.
No, I'm not going to change my answer. Good. I think Team Hell No is going to outperform the Bludgeon Brothers and win quote. Win the
yes,
match,
yes.
But I think the Bludgeon Brothers will probably retain
the championship. Yeah, here I think that they might be trying to hotshot Daniel Bryan versus The Miz to SummerSlam, because there's some speculation that Daniel Bryan might be leaving the company in September. His contract is up.
Is he going to fight Daniel Cormier?
No, I think he might be fighting Kenny Omega and
really,
and,
you think so?
Rainmaker Okada. I think if he's like, I want to go best wrestle the best wrestlers in the world, then that's probably what he's going to go do.
Do you really think Daniel Bryan's going to leave the WWE?
I think
the company
that
broke him and then brought him back to life.
Yeah, I think there's a very distinct possibility. It's all up in the air. It's all speculation, but I think that WWE, like, he has not committed to re-signing, and so I think WWE is kind of like, we got to cash in on all this stuff now. Like, I think the plan, the penciled-in plan, was to do Daniel Bryan versus The Miz at WrestleMania, but I think they're just trying to, like hustle through everything because they're trying to get all that money.
Wow, just in case.
Yeah, just in case he goes.
Didn't
so,
know that.
So yeah, that's my that's a little bit of a like a parting the curtain and getting a little bit outside of kayfabe, but sorry.
It's very sad.
I think that's
thanks for everything, DB.
Yeah.
He'll probably stick around. They'll probably offer him so much money.
I mean,
God, can you imagine how much better his merch is gonna be if he goes to New Japan though?
Right? Finally get some people that know how to design a dang t-shirt.
An actual graphic designer.
Yeah. Man, could you imagine like Cody versus Daniel Bryan, like outside of WWE? Be pretty incredible. Let me tell you that.
I just can't.
What if Daniel Bryan's at All In? You know,
All In.
What if we get Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk at All In? You know,
you think that's gonna happen?
It's possible. Anything is possible.
CM Punk ain't going anywhere near a wrestling ring. Are you kidding me?
There's been a lot of speculation, a lot of rumor, a lot of scuttlebutt.
Yeah, for like 4 years
that he's gonna be at All In. I mean, it's in Chicago. Why not? Just take the blue line.
Is he gonna fight
right there? Yeah, sure. Why not? I don't know.
He doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah, he does. He just got his ass kicked.
In a real fight.
Yeah, exactly. He can lose a fake fight.
You know who he should fight?
Who's that?
Daniel
Cormier.
Cormier.
The fighting Frenchman himself.
The fighting Frenchman. Daniel Cormier.
Okay.
God, that'd be a good character. That'd be a good WWE character.
Yeah, the fighting Frenchman, Daniel Cormier. He could tag with Cesaro. Be fun. You know who I miss? Cesaro.
Yeah, where's Cesaro and Sheamus?
Last I saw, he was in Switzerland getting coffee.
They're just drinking coffee.
Yep. Don't know where Sheamus is, but hey, that's where Cesaro is.
Dolph Ziggler with Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. So Drew McIntyre beat Seth Rollins this week, yes. Which means that he is allowed to be ringside in this fight.
Yes.
That was his prize. That was his prize. That was his victory. He gets to go to work.
Yeah. That's the prize I win every day. Ain't it a hoot.
I'm trying to lose, but...
trying my best to lose, but it doesn't seem to be happening.
How do you feel about this?
First of all, well, I feel great about this. I think this is going to be the best match of the night. I think that Dolph Ziggler is finally getting put closer to that spotlight, which is he has deserved for a while. I think he's worked his butt off. I think he's put on some really good matches with Seth so far. Seth has been on an unbelievable roll lately, and I think this is going to be another wonderful chapter in that saga. Dolph Ziggler is saying that he's going to win like 5-0. I think it's going to be more like a 3-2, but I do think Dolph Ziggler is going to win this match. I think Drew McIntyre is going to stay involved, and I think at SummerSlam we're either going to get some kind of like steel cage match or something like that where Drew McIntyre is like stuck on the outside, or like a tag match between like Seth and Roman versus Drew and Dolph, which I really don't want.
I'd watch that.
But
I'm sorry, did you say who you thought was going to win?
I think Dolph Ziggler is going to retain the championship.
Oh.
Yes.
God, I do love me some Dolph Ziggler. So do you think
he's got that good ramen noodle hair?
You think this feud's going to keep going?
Yes, I do.
Why is Seth getting so many opportunities to fight him?
That's a good question. Well, I mean, I think that like all of Dolph's wins have been like slightly underhanded. I guess... If I'm remembering correctly, I don't know that he's had like a completely successful rematch, you know, because like he lost in the open challenge and then he had a rematch the next week that I think that was the one where Drew McIntyre came out to interfere and then Roman Reigns hit Dolph with a spear, which meant that the match ended in disqualification. And then I think that this week was the next chapter in that and he just fought Drew McIntyre or maybe. Oh, no. I think then they had a tag match. And then he fought Drew McIntyre for this stipulation.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I guess they haven't really had their one-on-one
match. Their true one-on-one.
Well, I'm also went to a full finish. I'm also going to go with my good boy, Dolph. Yeah.
How did you see that the promo segment leading up to this match, was that included in your YouTube cut?
I don't remember.
Seth Rollins accused Drew McIntyre of sleeping with sheep.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's from Scotland.
Yeah, I didn't like this one.
I thought it was very funny. It's so stupid.
It was very stupid.
Yeah.
It was also like Drew McIntyre is, he seems like a character out of time, but he seems like an angry man frozen in time.
Okay.
Where he's like biblically angry. Where like saying that he fucks sheep wouldn't really bother him. Like he'd just be like, I'm going to murder you. Like rather than just like being offended, like, hey, don't say that I do that thing. It's gross.
Yeah.
He'd just be like, when we're in the ring, Seth, I'm going to murder you.
I am going to kill you.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring an actual claymore to this fight, right. And I will slice you from toe to tip.
I don't believe that Drew McIntyre would be bothered by childish insults.
Or would he,
from that bastard Seth Rollins.
Or would his biblical anger mean that he's extra angry? Because now not only is he fucking sheep, but it's an affront to God that he's fucking sheep.
I don't know.
Does it say,
man,
in the Bible you can't fuck animals?
I hope.
Is that one of the commandments?
I don't think it's one of the commandments.
Thou shalt have no other guy before me. Thou shalt not fuck that sheep. I think that's the way it goes.
Okay.
Just going to stray away from that one, huh?
Yeah, I can't go down that path.
Let's move right along here. Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax in an Extreme Rules match for the WWE Championship.
What's the Extreme
Rules? The WWE Women's Championship. The WWE Raw Women's Championship. What?
What's the Extreme Rule?
The Extreme Rule is that there are no rules. No disqualification. You can use weapons. You can fight anywhere. I think you might have to win in the ring. I think that might be the thing.
Alexa's going to win.
Here's what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah, you think what's her name's going to get involved?
Yeah, I think Ronda Rousey said she's going to be sitting front row. I think she's going to get involved. I think this match is going to end in a disqualification. I guess that means there's a DQ. I don't really know. something's going to happen where Alexa's going to retain the championship, and we're going to get Alexa versus Ronda versus Nia in a triple threat match at SummerSlam. Book it, Ron.
So you're going to go Alexa too.
That's a Matt Raddick book it.
All right.
Approved.
Well, hey, let's get back to talking about our other boys.
I think this match is going to be really good. Mm. I just want to say that I don't think we're giving enough time to Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. I think they've been good. I think Nia has done a really, really good job of being like believably flexible with her character, and that she has gone from being the bad guy to the good guy, and then back to being the good guy to being the bad guy to back to being the good guy in a very successful way. I think that she's a good wrestler. I think that when she broke that kendo stick in half, I went, wow.
I was impressed by that too. She broke a kendo stick over her knee.
Yeah, right. It seemed like that would give me an ouchie.
I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't know either. The whole like flexibility of it, I thought that you couldn't really, really break them. And Alexa's pretty good. She's pretty good at ragdolling around.
Get the shit kicked out of her. Your ass kicked.
Anyway, going to be a good match. Looking forward to it.
That's Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Jeff Rehardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke is going to finally be the U.S. champion, right?
I sure hope so.
Like you were saying, Jeff is just kind of losing his shit. He doesn't know what's going on.
Right. Talk about a man that's out of time. This boy looks like he's dressed up for a 2002 rave, and he's got his face painted for the part. And
he's got the pants. He's got the Hot Topic pants.
He's got the weird shirts that get too hot, and he has to take them off during every match. It's a weird thing that's part of your gimmick. Why don't you just maybe don't wear the shirt? Seems like that would be better for you.
Probably.
Anyway,
he's not in the best shape of his life.
No, he's not. He's in his 40s. He's old.
But I understand why you'd want to wear a shirt. And then maybe later in the match, after you've been going, you're a little more jacked.
Yeah. I'm feeling good. You're ready to go. Or maybe you're like, oh God, my heart. It's so hot. This is also my mentality every time I go for a run. Is like, oh, I'm going to be really hot, but don't want anybody to see this. Anyway, I would not be surprised if Jeff Hardy wins this match, but I'm going to vote with my heart here and say that Shinsuke is going to win.
All right, let's both give it up.
Two Shinsuke's way, way up.
Two Shinsuke's way, way up.
Hey. Ever think about how James Woods was the voice of Hades, and now that guy fucking sucks?
Stupid ass.
Finally broken Ron.
I thought you were gonna say now that he's the actual devil or something more relevant.
Stupid ass. I really love Hercules, and it makes me not like that movie. You ruined my childhood movie.
Oh my God. Yeah, is it because you just gave me the thumbs up that you thought of that? What just happened?
I said two Shinsuke's way, way up, and in that movie he says two thumbs way, way up, and then his thumbs light on fire because he's Hades.
Yeah. Yeah, and he sucks now.
Yeah, now he sucks.
He does.
I don't know. Just thought I'd share what's on my
He's a crazy guy these days.
Boy. Let's not talk about James Woods. Let's talk about two boys that we do.
They're okay. Wood for.
They're Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley.
Roman Reigns and Bob Lashley. We are both picking
this to be the main event of this show, even though it is, of all the title matches, it does not have a title in it, which is interesting.
It's not a title match, but it has Roman Reigns in it, which is the most important thing to Vince McMahon.
Yeah, it is also, I mean, the way that they've like been positioning this feud, it definitely seems like this is the most important match to them, to the WWE and to Raw.
Now let me ask you something.
Sure. Yes.
Why are you looking at your phone right now?
Well, because I had to check Bobby Lashley's Instagram to see sort of how he's getting hyped up for this match. And I'd like to point you and really everybody else to this picture that was posted.
I thought you might have just been out of it, just thinking about this conversation.
I mean, that's part of it too. But look at this picture.
Oh wow. This is sick.
Bobby Lashley had posted something that it's basically, I don't know.
It's fan art.
It's a fan art of him and Roman Reigns.
He tagged the artist, which is like mad respect to Bobby Lashley for doing that. So many people don't do that.
I don't want to like this guy.
Ooh,
don't make me like this guy.
Ooh, his art's interesting.
Yeah,
it's pretty neat.
Hey, I don't think anybody can see it at home. right now.
So. No, but I can.
Okay.
I drew a Frieza.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it's Bobby Lashley's got real big arms in this art, but he also That's has true. Real big arms in real life.
That is true. That is also true.
I'd say the drawings are proportional.
Hmm, interesting. I never really realized it, but Killmonger really has a DBZ vibe.
Oh, absolutely. Killmonger's Vegeta. Are you kidding me? Have we not talked about this?
No, we haven't.
Killmonger, like, story beat per story beat...
is Vegeta.
And costume is Vegeta.
Wow, interesting.
Watch Black Panther and then watch all of Dragon Ball Z.
If you put Black Panther on mute and you play
it, just sync it with the audio from DBZ.
It makes sense.
It syncs up.
It's a good joke that I had. Anyway,
I helped you out with it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Hey, Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley. Remember when we used to do a podcast about professional wrestling?
I do remember that.
Roman Reigns versus
Bobby. Now I just do a podcast about Bobby Lashley's Instagram.
God, we got to stop looking at fucking art on our phones while we're doing the podcast.
I was hoping he would have some inspirational quotes. Words. But he does not. I guess Sami Zayn scared him away from that tactic.
It's fine. My mom will text him to me later.
There you go. Sounds great.
She'll screenshot it and send it to me.
I think that Bobby Lashley is getting turned into a bad guy.
But it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. He got different music, though, I think. It's still generic, sort of like chuggy-chuggy guitar rock stuff. But it seems like grumpier now. And now he's like silhouetted on the Titantron. And they're like, ooh, look at that muscle man. He's a nasty, mean muscle man.
Mm.
A nasty, nasty, mean muscle
man. Who do you think's going to win this fight? What's the stipulation?
There's no stipulation here. There's no stakes here. None of this matters.
They're just arguing.
It's just a singles match.
They're doing relatively interesting things with Roman Reigns by making him actually like being like defending the ring and stuff like that.
Yes.
But they still have him doing this singles match feud with Bob Lashley.
Yeah.
No reason.
They spent 15 minutes, quote unquote, hyping up this match on Raw by just having these two like brawl around the ring and then having all the chitty wrestlers that they don't like pull them apart. Literally 15 minutes. There's no story development or anything like that.
I do love that spot though. Oh, they had to clear out the.
I do too,
to clear
but like
out the locker room to get these guys off of each other. And, yeah, it went for a long time.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
It works better for a guy like Brock Lesnar or Undertaker who is like not there very often. Braun and he's like, I showed up to murder you. And now you have to send all these people to pull you apart. I think that the angle of like Bobby being like, you're the sheriff here, or I'm tired of you acting like the sheriff here, and Roman Reigns being like, no, I am the guy in charge here. It's my yard. I'm going to defend it. It's a good angle, right? I'm fine with that.
Sure.
I think this is going to be a poopy garbage match, and I think Roman Reigns is going to win. Because who cares? I have not enjoyed any of the time that these two have spent in the ring together.
I also think the Roman is going to win, and I also don't care. But that does mean that we've gone down the entire Extreme Rules card. We did it. We didn't do it in under an hour.
That's for sure.
But we did it.
We sure did. And with that, I think we're going to say that this is the end of this show. Is there anything else that we need to say about this?
No, I mean, we talked about Daniel Cormier.
Yep.
We talked about James Woods.
Yep.
Talked about Shinsuke Nakamura.
Hit all the important story beats.
Yeah. Rusev Day.
Mm-hmm.
There was the bus, the chicken on the bus.
Yep.
What else did we have? Oh, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. Concert that's going on.
Yes, we did talk about that.
That was pretty much the whole show.
I think that's it. I think we covered it.
Do you want to run down the list again?
Real quick.
The matches?
No, we're not going to do that. You can find those on our social media channels. Because you can find us on Facebook, you can find us on Instagram, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Blind Tag Cast on all those channels. We'll be watching the show and live tweeting during it. So join us there for a good romp and good time.
A good old time.
We'll have lots
of laughs.
Dumb things to say, I'm sure. You can make fun of Ron for his bad opinions, and you can praise me for all of my good goofs. Do that on the internet. You can also email us, blindtagcast@gmail.com, and find us at our website, blindtagcast.com. We also want to thank Small Parks for letting us use their song Restless as our in and out music. We appreciate that. And with that, my name is Matt Raddick, and I have been your face.
My name is Ron Del Villano. I've been your heel.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, and happy Rusev Day. 'Cause you fall